Welcome back to the Urban Vibe Podcast. My name is Vic.
I'm here with Nick is my name.
I'm Peyton.
I'm Caden.
And today we are talking about one battle after another, starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn. This movie was one of the most anticipated movies of 2025, coming out with 13 Oscar nominations, 14 BAFTA nominations, and 9 Golden Globe nominations.
Wow.
So quite, well, that's a big nomination pull, I think. For me personally, I really enjoyed the 3 hours I spent watching Leonardo DiCaprio run around.
I did too.
I'm not a big Leo fan, so I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed this movie.
Personally, love Leo, great actor, and he seems to get better in everything he plays. I thought he put in a really, really stellar performance here. I really liked when he was speaking Spanish because, like, he seemed like he knew his stuff, but also at the same time he didn't. And that Mexican whistle, wow, that was really good.
I personally thought the movie was okay. I didn't enjoy it as much as some other movies, but my favorite part was when I think I liked the end at the most. I liked the car chase. That's pretty much it.
I think the best part of the movie was when Lockjaw died.
Yep.
Because there's a little bit of the twist there. Outside of that, though, like you said, 3 hours of a guy getting chased down. So at times it gets repetitive, but like you said, he kept it pretty fresh.
He really kept it fresh. He really didn't do anything, if you think about
it. That's what I'm saying.
He's just kind of running the whole movie and trying to remember his codes or whatever he was doing, but he was good at running around.
That's what I'm saying. It kind of reminded me of, like, Maze Runner thing where they're just running and then
they're
just kind of extending it just for the movie to, you know.
Well, isn't it kind of the point that at some point he became bad at running?
Yeah, he
because the burnout situation, like, the point is the reason why he couldn't say the time and he couldn't do it is because eventually he just stopped,
right? Yeah,
like being involved, which I thought was kind of strange. If he left for the safety of his daughter, he kind of got literally lazy about the protection part, which I thought was kind of odd.
Yeah, but I think, like, the whole point of the movie was to test their relationship, and because she knew what the codes were, and he taught her that back in the day, but he forgot all about them. So that was an interesting.
Yeah, that was really interesting, especially when the lady shows up later and she's like, right, "I'm here to get you."
And she knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you actually elaborate more on what do you mean, like, test the relationship? I think I understand what you're saying, but I just want to.
Because, okay, so when they came to get her at the dance, this lady showed up. She was like, she said all the code words. I don't know what they were, but, and then she said, how do you know what that means? And she was like, I've been trained to do this, and I'm taking you to safety, so you can trust me. Because she said those words, so that means she could trust her. And I think, what was his name, Bob? Bob trained her to learn those codes and know what to do.
Yeah, at least as a child, she would.
And so I think that was absolutely a really cool dynamic to see that the father and daughter relationship like that.
Because they had, like, the vibrating tracker
exactly,
sticks.
Yeah.
When the guy who made those, it was like the tech guy who was very, like, old school anti-government. Mm-hmm. He reminded me a lot of this character from White Collar, which was an old TV show about a detective in, like, the early 2000s, where that was his whole thing, was he was the fence guy and he was the tech guy. So the entire time he was on screen, I just thought he was, like, a different character. I couldn't pull him into his own.
Yeah.
But later on when he gives up Bob and the kid, that's so sad. I get it, but, like, it was a good showing of what the U.S. military would do in a situation. Like, they'd be like, well, we'll just get your sister then.
Can we circle back to how the girl said, I'm taking you to safety, but 5 minutes later they were captured and...
That's because she took her phone. She said no cell phones.
Yeah,
she had her phone in
she lied about having a phone.
Oh, okay. Yep.
She wasn't supposed to have a phone because they can track location. So okay, then she threw it out the window, but they already had her location.
Yeah, they already knew what
so
way
they just
she was
followed
going.
They followed that road. So it was, yeah, she shouldn't have had a phone.
And then the friend that sold her out, essentially, gave him the phone number.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think he tried a lot, but you also have to remember, like, he was dragged out of a school dance at 17 or 16 years old.
He's got
and
a
they
gun
tried really hard to tell him, like, she doesn't have one. So I wouldn't put pressure on that kid. Because he did better than the other guy that was part of the revolution for 40 years and that was flipped immediately. Like, they didn't even hit him. And he was like, well, I guess Bob's at, like, 123 Christian Avenue.
Yeah. I thought it started out really slow. Like, what am I watching here? But then after, like, all those time cuts, because, like, you get in the movie, they're dating and all that jazz, and then she's pregnant, and then it's 16 years later, and then that's when we finally settle into the movie. I thought that's when it got good. Like, the first 10 minutes was kind of confusing, but after we got settled down,
it reminds me of a movie that was made before streaming. And
I could see that.
I will elaborate. a lot of movies now feel like season finales of shows, almost. This one had, like, a background, a setup, the actual movie, and a conclusion. And I was like, whoa, we remember how to storyboard.
Like, you could definitely tell where the climax in the movie was.
Yeah, yeah. On those roads. Really classic film.
Yeah.
So would you guys say the movie could be shorter and still, you know, include everything that you said a part of it? Or was the almost 3 hour screen time required to tell the story?
I thought it was a great length. I mean, they don't make movies that long anymore. Which
I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I think it was a good length. And I think they really set up the story well to how it ended, if that makes any sense.
Okay. What were your guys' least favorite scenes then?
Definitely at the beginning. We don't have to go all into it. But when, you know, Perfidia is with Lockjaw.
Okay.
And they're in that room. I don't want to go too in-depth on that, but that was kind of disturbing.
I would agree. Yeah.
Isn't it fun when movies can elicit an uncomfortable result or response?
I mean, I wasn't comfortable, so if that's what they were trying to do, it worked out.
Yeah. I think that was, like, kind of the point of it, was to make people uncomfortable with this weird back-and-forth relationship. Hypocritical isn't the correct... Maybe it is. Is that the correct word for it? Because he's, like, obsessed with her, even though he hates her.
He was. And then even in the end of the movie when they found out that he was her father, like, didn't he say he loved her or something back then? At the end, he said, like, I loved her, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah, absolutely demon behavior. Hated that.
Nope.
Sean Penn did a really good job of playing a piece of trash white supremacist.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome.
Like, I have not watched a movie for a while that has made me uncomfortable, mad, happy, and sad all in the span of 4 hours.
I agree. I think there was a lot of funny parts, too.
Yeah, they cut it well with, like, because you're watching this, like Nazis run around and do Nazi stuff. But then at the back of your mind, it's like, oh, that, like, little bit was haha funny.
Yeah.
Everybody's having a good time.
When he was on the payphone talking to the guy, trying to remember what time, like, when he said what time it is, that was really funny. He's like, just give me the rendezvous point, bro. But that was funny. It was also funny when he called him, like, a liberal sissy or something. That was funny. Yeah.
I am wondering, this is the one question I have from the movie, where did I don't know if they're illegal immigrants or aliens or what, when they went in that trap door, where did they go from there? Because they never showed that.
There's a church underneath there, right?
Yeah, I think they were going towards the church. Oh, because churches used to be safe asylums, so federal agents weren't allowed to enter churches for undocumented citizens at some point. And I think the movie was set in 2000s, and that's when that would have been a law. It's safe haven laws.
Okay. Do we still have those today?
No, they were... No. A lot of them have gotten struck down in the last 5 to 10 years, I believe. Because now federal agents can enter churches to track down.
Yeah, that was a really interesting...
A plethora of different...
Interesting part of the movie. When you walk into that back room and there's just, like, hundreds of immigrants back there. Like, it really makes... Really puts a plot twist in the movie because, like, all these people are coming to get us.
Well, because there's two revolutions happening at once, right? Yeah. That guy is not part of French 75, which is Bob's system. He's part of his own system that is happening at the same, like, at the same time. Even though 75 has been disbanded, they're still running around. Some of them are active. So I thought that was really interesting that you got Bob's side, and then you also had his side parallel. And then he was so open to helping him. Like, he knew immediately how important it was to help Bob, even though he had nothing to do with the French 75.
Yeah, he gave him a gun, he gave him a phone, everything.
And then a ride. He got him out of holding. Like, that was a big ass for some guy. How did that work?
They didn't really show that, did they? They just showed him getting out and getting in the car.
No, it was the connection with the intake nurse.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. The intake nurse was part of the other guy's, like, circuit.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she helped him escape.
Guy's a G.
So would you guys say that Bob is a villain?
Well, not anymore. Mm. I'd say as of now he's trying to, you know, heal and just be close to his daughter. He's not like he used to be.
I have a weird question. So how old are y'all?
I'm 21.
You're 21? Y'all are about 20?
I'm 18.
Do you remember when the United States had a problem with bombers?
No.
Like, did you learn about Ted Kaczynski? Did you know there was bombings at 9/11? Like, because there is some cultural context here. The movie isn't a one-for-one reenactment of any one revolutionary group, but it does tie in. In the 70s, people were bombing buildings. Like, that was, like, something people were up to. And it used to be kind of common for, like, 40 to 50 years to turn on the news, and it was like, this politician had a pipe bomb, this person over here had a bombing. And I feel like a lot of the older people watching the movie will have a different perspective on it because they remember Ted Kaczynski versus y'all who are watching it. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, he's bombing, maybe not kind of cool, but, like, it's, like, not a big deal.
Do we know when, like, at the very beginning, when was, what, like, year would that be?
Oh, it was the 70s. Right? It was the 70s and 80s. It was based off a 1970s revolutionary group that did bombings. I can't remember the name of them right now.
Okay. So I was kind of confused about the bombings. I was like, what's, like, the point?
Yeah, so that's why I brought it up, yeah.
Yeah.
He was an explosives expert back when explosive experts were kind of like a big deal.
Valid.
Now, we hear about pipe bombs all the time, but it's not projected the same way. Like in Minnesota, there was pipe bombs found in some politicians' houses, I believe. And then a couple years ago, there was an unstable man in Florida who had a pipe bomb in a van. That had, like, pictures of Joe Biden and Donald Trump on it.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, because I thought I was going nuts myself. I was like, please let me be real right now.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was around the same time as the Cybertruck blowing up over in Vegas, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And was it Trump Tower or something?
Yeah, I think so. That was right when he got inaugurated.
Yeah,
right?
it was some crazy stuff going on. So, yeah, you're not wrong. That car could have blown up, like you said, entire, like,
I think that's an important thing to bring up. And especially for y'all, if you ever go back to watch it again, like, our parents will have a different view of that movie because they probably remember Timothy, McVeigh, I think it was.
Beats me.
Yeah, we didn't learn about that.
It's just crazy how big of a political, like, movie this is. Like, I didn't know it was such a political thing.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like in the title, then you turn it on and it's immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Well, they're activists, right? So I thought the point of the title, and I could be off base, is that when you're an activist, it's one battle after another, literally.
100%. Oh, okay. And then he dropped the title like 10 minutes in the movie. That was surprising.
Yeah, we're doing
I mean, the whole movie is him fighting battle after battle after battle.
Well, there's that 30-year gap.
It does make sense.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Yeah, or not 30 years, 16-year gap. Yeah. But as he is being stationary in a burnout to the left, other people of the French 75 were active.
That's what I'm saying.
And we know that. So they were still completing battles while he just, like, kind of took his own little time out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting because the little girl who grows up at the end of the movie, she's like, I gotta go. I'm gonna drive an hour and a half to go to this protest. Mm. Like, she followed through with the legacy that her mother had given her, even though her mother did not want, it seemed like she didn't really.
Oh, she didn't want that baby.
Be a part of her life, but for some reason the letter was still like, maybe you could succeed where we couldn't.
Right.
So, like, she's continuing those battles later on. It's like a generational trauma story almost.
Well, at the end of the movie, I noticed that when they were going up and down the hills in the cars, it was red. The cars are red, white, and blue. So I don't know if that symbolizes anything or if that was just
It definitely does, yeah.
It definitely does, but yeah. I don't know what it would symbolize, right? Because...
Did you know the Nazis had really, really good cars, though? Like, the kind that they were driving sports cars. Those were all the white supremacist
stuff.
Okay,
that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they were... This was, like, their fleet of cars.
Yeah. Yep, that makes
a lot of sense. So I was just trying to separate the class, then.
Yeah. Mm. So, because the guy, the revolutionary, he was, like, in a beat-up whip. I don't know car breeds.
Yeah, he was a beat up manual.
He had stolen it off the side of the road.
It was just with a sunroof.
I had a sunroof? Okay. Yeah. I can remember he had the top like open a lot of the time.
I don't know if he knew how to shut it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think there was a time he wasn't.
It wasn't his car. So him even being in the desert and it still working to me was like probably a movie magic miracle because that thing doesn't look like it could go over 30 minutes without overheating.
That's what I'm saying.
And he was chasing them through the desert. So,
can we talk about how he survived gunshot to the neck and a car crash, fiery car crash?
Lockjaw?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Fast and Furious type levels.
Like
of
it's a movie, bro.
Health.
I mean,
evil persists, man.
When DiCaprio went up to the car crash, I was waiting for him to just jump or move and scare DiCaprio.
Like, I thought
he was playing dead.
They pulled up, he was dead. Like, okay, great. End of Lockjaw. And then he shows up with, a scar on his lip and a blind eye?
He had, facial reconstruction surgery.
I guess, but, you'd have more problems than that if you got shot in the head, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean...
I don't know if... He kind of got shot in the neck, it looked like.
You would expect more damage. Definitely.
Right.
You
and then he got flipped and fell over the cliff. Yeah, I don't know about all that. But it was cinematic
power?
How he died at the end.
Yeah, he died his own guys, didn't he?
What, they just, some guys hired him, right?
He got the position that he was going for in the KKK equivalency, the Christmas party.
Christmas party, yeah.
And he got into an office, and then they gassed him out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they used poisonous gas.
And then they put him in one of those
classic white supremacy
kiln things, right?
Classic.
To burn the body?
Yeah, I think they did incinerate him or something.
Yep.
There was a removal team. And I think that was part of the whole, they do this all the time. So they have this office in the back that's specifically for killing recruits. They don't want a part of their secret society in case they're doing stuff that they don't align with. Having babies with people of color.
Yeah.
It was definitely an interesting way to kill him because he could have just died when he got shot or in the car crash, but they chose to kill him like that, which is interesting.
Well, he had this moment of, I'm successful,
yeah,
and it didn't matter.
Yep,
I think that was crucial in the movie.
So crucial?
Yeah. Him not dying in the car crash.
I know.
And
yeah, they chose to do him like that.
Yeah,
which good for them. I mean, he deserved it.
Would you say that anybody won?
The daughter, she definitely. Won something. She didn't die.
That's true.
So.
I feel like really no one won.
There's no winners, though.
Yeah,
there's no winners or losers.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think the kid and Bob being
they had a
out
ending.
And not in prison seems like they did win. You
in
know,
sense,
because they were trying to come after them specifically, and it didn't work. And now that Lockjaw is dead, I guess no one's sitting there going through.
No one's going to come
from
after
30
them.
Years ago, no one's looking for those people.
Yeah, so they had a happy ending. So they're winners.
In a way.
And the people of the French 75 that weren't caught up in the shenanigans because they were still operating out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the radio guy that was like, I'm sorry, I didn't know who you were.
He was very persistent.
He was like, you didn't keep up with the readings, but doesn't know who Bob is somehow.
Yeah, and then Bob's boy came on the line, right? And then he knew who he was. Yeah.
So I guess final questions is, what'd you guys recommend watch this movie, and would you watch it a second time?
Absolutely. I think now that I've seen it, I'm going to know what's going on in the beginning, and I think it's a great movie with great performances.
I would say no. I mean, I was a big hater of the movie going in. Nick knows that, but I would say it was an okay movie. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, but...
Okay, pretty awesome is what he means.
I appreciate it. I like most of the messaging in it. So I probably would tell certain people to watch it if I know they have affinity for movies like that because it was a comedy action. So if you're not used to watching either highly political content, I don't think it's for you. But those aren't the people I talk to, so everybody I know is probably going to know.
Even if you didn't have any political idea, you could still watch the movie.
You could figure it out, yeah. But yeah. I think other people would just like not be interested in the subplot.
He's kind of unpopular opinion over here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, well, that's, I think, it for our reviews and takes over One Battle After Another. Thanks so much for checking out the Urban Vibe podcast. We will see you next time.